Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-host Bill Johnson for this breakout study. It is Battle at the Gate 2. It's a two-part series. We will be working through the scriptures and threading through ultimately, audience, your ability to understand what is going on around you, and your ability to recognize spiritually through the scriptures the word of our Lord Jesus Christ in this time. Good evening, Bill. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm very good, Bob, and very glad to that you asked me to join you on this study.
Always a pleasure, Brother Bill. Always a pleasure.
I know you've been putting a lot of time and a lot of hard work into this, and looking forward to seeing how this all breaks out.
Well, audience, when we're recounting this type of show, what we seek for the audience to do is to build off of the original work at the third-day.com studies, because when you recount the books of Sue Patterson and the 300 hours of biblical studies using the metaphoric language, you begin to see a tale that if someone told you this would be true, you could never believe it. Brother Bill?
No, that's true. It's definitely a layer of spiritual language there that speaks volumes once you see it.
And in seeing it, audience, what we're trying to convey to you is to prepare yourself to do the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing more. We're not selling DVDs with the Joe Lunchbox crew, giving a Bible, a textual study of the Bible to give the proper renderings for you, audience, to study yourselves approved and be able to recognize the signatures in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bill, can you give the audience just a little background on the metaphoric language?
Yeah, it's very consistent through the Bible, all the way from Genesis through Revelations. There is a literal reading in Scripture. I would never want to say that the Bible is, not written literally in many, many ways, but there's also a spiritual language behind it. And it's very consistent through Scripture. Once you pick up on the, many of the key identifiers, such as mountains, for example. I was just studying mountains in Matthew chapter 22, I believe, and how faith can move mountains. And it's talking, there's the spiritual mountains in Scripture. There's the spiritual mountain of Zion, and the spiritual mountains of congregation where Satan is sitting right now. And in that piece of Scripture there where it says that he'll give you the faith to move mountains and then cast them into the sea, the sea being Babylon, it's a spiritual rendering for Babylon. In many places in the Bible is sea, and you can move these false apostate, you can cast them off of you, just as he was showing them with the fig tree there, as he cursed the fig tree. Fig tree is a covenant, is a metaphor for the old covenant also as well in Scripture. And these are all consistent all the way from Genesis through Revelations once you start identifying them. And, they're explained extremely well in the third day studies that Sue Patterson and Randy Moggins put several years of work into. And I don't know how many hours it would be, but just, and then plus the behind the scenes hours that are not counted,
of
5 years.
Study.
Yes, absolutely right.
So the first thing, audience, we want to convey to you is that this war is is with your Bible in your hand. Literally. To study the scriptures yourself. We can convey to you truth. Now, if you're in the truth, you will have a hunger for the truth. You'll want to know this language. You'll want to understand the Bible. And Bill, when we equate the mountains, people have to realize that these physical, just description of a fleshly mountain is a spiritual recognition, because if you can recognize, audience, the spiritual mountain, then you recognize the whole journey, because there is a valley, the valley of decision.
Right, spiritual valley of decision, right.
So you have to cross this valley, and the journey begins, no matter where you are, is right now, in your mind. So we recount what we were told to do with our mind. We were to clean our temple. If you, ye, are the temple of the Lord, and ye recognize this, okay, then you recognize that you are built into a spiritual wall that is built on the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is this foundation that was built without hands, that was built by the Lord. So spiritually, we're telling you to start be lively stones, audience. This may seem hard at the beginning, but the proper renderings will come out in the flesh. We're going to try and reverse some things tonight, because scripturally, we could give you the proper renderings of your situation, and you can look these up, but we would rather have you listen to see if common sense doesn't show you your surroundings now. Bill, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, it's going from the mountain of double-mindedness into the single mind of Christ. Let this mind of Christ Jesus be in you. And, when this whole world is based upon two-fold factions, and the real secret of climbing into the right mountain, being on Mount Zion with the Lamb wherever he goeth, is being of one accord with Jesus Christ and in one mind with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everything else is double-minded.
And that's the proper rendering. That's a layer of scripture that needs to know, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal.
Absolutely.
That's what we were told to do. That's a proper rendering of the Ten Commandments. Be holy vessels and recognize that the Ten Commandments are Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. That is you, audience. And that rest that the Latter-day Saints took and made into some fleshly apostate teaching that made them rich. Beyond anybody's scope or imagination. Bill, let's just drill down a little on, for the audience to recognize, white. What was the woman's name? Was that something G. White of the Latter-day Saints?
Oh, Ellen G. White.
Ellen G. White. Now, audience, they have that, her writings, which she was a prolific writer. They have them locked up in a vault somewhere. Okay, that's their stash. Because as soon as the money started running in from her writings, when people wanted to know the truth, because there's always a little leaven in there.
Yep.
Okay. So now we want to tell you that leaven means that you, not only on one layer is it a corrupt apostate church, okay, because you should be far enough along in these studies that you're out at the church. But let's start at the church. You start recognizing that something's wrong at the church. You're witnessing it. You're witnessing... You have your Bible in your hand, you're studying the Word, and all of a sudden they're speaking out of a different Bible. They're using the New International This Bible, or Americans This Bible, That Bible. Okay. That's your first clue that you need to wake up. Bill, a little on the Bible, how corrupt these other versions are from the King James?
I just find them more corrupt as time passes. Like I think I may have stated on the last show or one of my shows recently, that they're a lot worse than I thought they were a year ago. I caught the NIV interjecting the word treaty in the Bible today for covenant.
And that's enough, audience. That's all you need to know is that the Bibles are corrupt. Okay, you can, if you don't study yourself, approve that far to do a little study on the King James Version versus the other versions and why they are putting out other versions.
The King James is very single-minded.
And 20 years ago, in any hotel room, you would have a King James Version Bible. It was the most prolific book ever written.
That's right. And it was Gideon's, I think, supplied those. Sad to say, at least here in Canada, the last time, I don't travel much anymore. I used to travel continuously. But last time I traveled was about a year ago, and opened the drawer and was a Gideon's, and some version I had never heard of.
And again, audience, this is where your missionaries are shipping these false, these corrupted Bibles. Okay, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on some debate. We're telling you they're corrupt. Get over it.
Right, get over it, right.
Okay. The Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, you are to serve Him and no flesh. And what that means, the proper rendering without giving you 50 scriptures is, okay, what did the Lord tell us not to do? He told us not to sin. Now, all the preachers and prosperity and the apostate are telling you everything's good, everything's fine. They're lying dogs. They're blind, deaf, and dumb. They have no clue whatsoever of the wrath and judgment of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're telling you, you do, audience. You that are listening to this, do. And if you open your Bible and you pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal this to you, it doesn't matter if you don't know the metaphoric language, if you don't know this version or that version. If you pray for our Lord Jesus Christ, if you petition our Lord to reveal this truth to you, then the Holy Spirit will teach you this. Because no man can teach this amount of understanding in terms of a perfect vision of your world right now. Bill, would you like to add to that?
Yes, yeah, right. There's no man that can teach you this right. If you truly have the deep desire in you not to be deceived, not to be beguiled, the Comforter will call all things to your remembrance. Jesus will not let you down. He sent the Comforter to bring all things to your remembrance, and He will show you all things. It may start out slowly. It may start out with, you know, just literal understanding of the gospel. And if you seek just a desire deep in your heart for that, He'll show it to you. And He will point out the errors that have been taught. Once you clean the slate and you start over with Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, fully Son of God, fully Son of Man, walked the earth for 33 years. He fulfilled the covenant. He was anointed king at his baptism. He was led into the wilderness immediately to be tempted by the devil. He preached, or you know, spoke the word, taught the word for 3.5 years. Died on the cross, sealed the covenant with his blood. Rose on the third day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and go from there. And just throw away all the false doctrine that you've been taught. Maybe some of it's right, maybe some of it's wrong. Just start from that point right there. And seek the Lord in true earnesty, and He will show you everything forward from there.
Audience, when we're told of fleshly things, you have a country in the Middle East. It is the country of Israel. As a American, I recognize any country under the petitions of the world, under all the formats that are legal in the world powers, that they have every right to be a country. That their people should be as blessed as we are to practice our faith and not have it corrupted. That aside, fleshly Israel is divorced from the Lord. Bill, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, all flesh is divorced from the Lord. Not only fleshly Israel, but fleshly Hawaiian, fleshly Alaskan, fleshly Argentinian, fleshly Islam, fleshly Hinduism. It's all divorced from the Lord. He is no respecter of persons. It's not a symmetrical field. It's an asymmetrical field that he plants the seed in.
So, if you audience are taking a literal view of fleshly Israel, we need you to stop, okay? Because you are Israel. You are the temple of the Lord. The prophetic scriptures in the Old Testament always have a tale of a recounting that you, audience, are to learn in terms of spiritual Israel. The destruction of the temple, the prophecies, the rebuilding of the wall are all fulfilled scriptures for the audience, for you, audience, and the believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, to begin to recognize that these are examples. The scriptures are limitless. They are for eternity. And in terms of God's timeline and our timeline, we do not think like God. We are not sensible in terms of providing a chronology for the scriptures, because they're for eternity. Bill?
Right. There's no telling how many deeper layers there are in scripture. They are for eternity. That's true. You know, my ways are higher than your ways, the Lord says. The wisdom of man is foolishness unto the Lord. So much of this, you know, I can't understand as far as, you know, how the Lord is actually going to do things, how he's going to bring the New Jerusalem down and the millennial kingdom. I don't have the mind to understand that. But I have full faith that he is going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. And I do understand the tribulation and the birth pains that have been going on since the cross and before. And I understand how they're progressing now. And I understand that we're coming into the final birth pain. And I've been given blessed from the Lord to see a lot of how this is going to unfold.
And audience, what we want to convey to you is now... It's you that need to go into the wall.
Yes.
Okay. And here's who's outside the wall. Okay. And here's who's inside the wall. Now, outside the wall, you could recognize this fleshly understanding, because everybody who is not of the narrow way is of the broad way. They're in the flesh.
Right, the broad way is the outer court.
So the battle at the gate, essentially, is you, the holy temple of the Lord, not to be corrupted by all this fleshly understanding, to study yourself approved, and to be able to discern through the fleshly lies. So you're dealing with the broad way lies that'll result in death. If you're in the flesh, you're in the bondage. If you're under the law, you're condemned. If you're in darkness, you're chafe. You're just out of it. If you recognize yourself as a Gentile, and you're not a circumcised Jew of the heart, and you're following the Titus false genealogies, and we only used Israel is an example. I could have said a Muslim, I could have said a Mormon, I could have said one of 36,000 denominations. In your life, you will feel this. You will feel that you're not bearing any fruit. You'll recognize you're sentenced to death when you're in the truth. You could recount our show with people that have been Cindy from Oregon. Look for the testimony of people that are in the truth. They have found their salvation. They are built in the wall. if you're not recognizing this gospel audience, you are in the spirit of error and not in the spirit of truth. And Bill, we just laid the plumb line down for who is on one side and who is on the other. Would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, well, the plumb line is, that is your place in the Lord, either in the inner court or the outer court. That's where it establishes where you are and where your walk is. The third day studies have done, by Sue Patterson, their opening of the plumb line studies is just an outstanding place to begin. Want to be on the right hand, sitting on the right hand of the Father is the right hand of the, with Jesus in his kingdom. You don't want to be on the left hand.
An audience, you just have to make a click on our website and you will get everything you need. And it doesn't matter what study you begin with, they're study notes. And those study notes are scripture upon scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. No tittle has been changed. You are allowed, audience. You are equipped with the Word of God for your generation. And you're equipped with the ability to petition the Lord in no man of flesh. It doesn't matter if you're male, female, black, white, of Asian descent, of any derivative, of any fleshly mingling that you could ever imagine, you, audience, can petition the Lord to tell you the truth. And he will grant that petition. We don't need to run through a lot of scriptures that are convoluted in this.
No.
We need to recount that you are, in this time, when you turn on your TV, you're going to see being conformed to the world. It's whether you recognize it, because we're told we have to live in the world. It's told you're not to be conformed to this world, but you be changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may find what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Which is sanctify them through thy truth, as he said in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just as I was sanctified in the truth, he says.
In the truth, and who was he serving? He was serving God.
Yeah, right. He was
His
serving
Father.
The Father, right.
So you, audience, need to recognize it is the will of the Father that you serve him. Okay? This is all about our Lord Jesus Christ and his finished works at the cross. And then we're told that we are to recognize the spiritual understanding of his word, the teaching of the apostles. And there's so much scripture in the New Testament that very few people have the proper renderings of the scripture. But anyone can do this. Bill, anyone can search the scriptures and find the truth.
Yes, and reading it one word at a time, believe it or not, has helped me. I see so many things just reading one word at a time, because so many things are just easily read through that they don't seem to me on the surface important, but they are very deep meanings. Just as that simple little statement, "Go and sin no more."
This is what the prostitute was told, and we're told that when the blind were healed, and the hearing and the deaf were healed. The proper rendering of those scriptures that it was the Lord Jesus Christ healing them, but they began to preach the gospel. So we can recount, without going into a lot of scripture, that the blind man that was healed, when he was taken to the courts of the Pharisees and scribes, the serpents and the scorpions, the priests' class, what you are under right now, audience, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're Latter-day Saints, you're in the apostate.
Okay? Right, and those priests have the big Jesus, and they give you the little Jesus. That's their format that keeps them going. You go back and listen to them, and they give the impression that they have the big Jesus, and you got the little Jesus. And there's no such thing in Scripture. There's just one Lord Jesus Christ, and he dwells in and anyone who will clean their house and invite him in, the big Jesus comes in there.
And it's a mighty experience. Mighty movement. See, audience, your preconceived ideas were programmed into you. You're not supposed to know this truth.
No, not at all. They don't want you to, because that's threatening to them. Just as Jesus, once Jesus started getting followers, it was threatening to the religious Pharisees of their time, and the Herodians and the Sadducees. Excuse me. I would like to say that one identifier to being taught a fleshly gospel or a lying gospel is the tactic of flatteries. And it's so big, it's right in Genesis chapter 3 in the beginning of the Bible with the serpent. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods. Well, he was flatterizing her. This sounded very good to her. She's not going to surely die. This is how they flatterize the people with the rapture cult. This from a see, this has a fleshly understanding to it. Thou shalt not surely die. Well, the rapture, I shall not surely die. That's a good way to go. See, they're speaking flatteries to you. They're flatterizing you.
In all aspects, audience, everything fleshly is a lie. Everything fleshly. Okay, but this is the truth. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 12, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Now, audience, let me tell you what's happening right now. In Hosea 6, chapter 9, Hosea chapter 6, verse 9, and as the troops of robbers, remember, I come as like a thief in the night, and the Lord uses these vessels of wrath, no matter who they are. The troops of robbers are scorpions. They wait for a man, so the company of priests, serpents, they come together. And they murder in the way by consent. They murder together.
Right, they're very codependent.
They commit lewdness. Okay, now, I want you to understand, audience. Let's drill down a little on lewdness. Okay, because this is going to give you the fleshly recognition that you understand that no matter where you're at, you are the temple of the Lord, and that your priest in your corner church is no different than the Pope's church or the Muslim churches or the synagogues. They're no different. They're all the same. They're recognized as scorpions, serpents. Okay? Now, if you look what these people are doing spiritually, lewdness is a plan, especially a bad one. It's a heinous crime. It's lewd, lewdly, lewdness. It's mischief. It has purpose, thought. It's wicked. It's a device for the mind, mindness. It's a primitive root to plan, usually in a bad sense. Consider, devise, imagine, plot, purpose, think, evil.
Conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
Didn't Joseph's 10 brothers conspire against him?
But this generation's a little different. Okay, in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 5, thus saith the Lord God, an evil and only evil, behold, is come. Now, we recognize this through Scripture, audience, that at the great falling away of the great apostate, the corner church, it's every church, that there is another evil. Okay, so we've been recounted through our lifetimes that there's evil in the land, and we could recognize that anywhere. but an evil and only evil. It means a one-time evilness that is so subtle, so covert.
Yes, the evil of Edom.
So devised, so planned, so wicked. Okay? It's considered, it's a plot, it's a thinking of evil. So what would that recognize to you, audience, is going on right now in your lifetime? What possibly could you look around and not see on every channel, every radio station, every internet chat room? You will witness evil. It is upon the land. See, the spirit of Israel is the Lord's chosen people, whether the 144,000 or the multitude of people the Lord will call. They need to be aware of this. Okay, in Acts 2, chapter 17, it shall come to pass in last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Audience, the proper rendering is he does pour his spirit upon all flesh. But there's vessels of wrath, and there's vessels of the Lord's. Bill, would you like to expand on that?
Yes, he's going to pour out his Holy Spirit on his who he has chosen, who he has called out, who hears his voice. All my sheep hear his voice, he says. So you're going to hear his voice, and he's going to call you out.
An audience, the people of the world in judgment are there. They have a multitude of sins
yes.
charged against them. And the Apostle Paul, his lessons are, what we're supposed to learn is that these are warnings about unbelief, about evil things, and worshiping idols. And we're conveying to you, audience, if you're in the church, you're in idol worship, because it is not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the multitude of sin of unbelief, let's take a look at unbelief, Bill. It's disbelief, obstinate, rebellious, disbelief, unbelief. And if you look at disobedience further, disobedience, contradiction, gainsaying, and strife. And this disbelief is disobedience, unbelief, obstinate, rebellious. It's inattention, that is, by implication, disobedience. And gainsaying is a presumed derivative of a compound. It's indisputable, cannot be spoken against. Okay, so, the gospel cannot be spoken against. Bill?
Yeah, you mentioned unbelief. Of those 600,000 males that were 20 and older who left Egypt with Moses and the great multitude, it may have been 2 or 2.5 million people total. But of those 600,000 males, only two of them crossed the River Jordan. And the Bible clearly states because of unbelief, their carcasses were left in the wilderness during that 40-year period.
And an audience, you are going through this, whether on any level, and you're at some place on some spiritual plane of understanding where you are. Okay? If you came out of the church and you're into the wilderness, then you need to go to Mount Zion. You need to travel. And in your journey, you are surrounded by serpents and scorpions, and they're pressing in on everyone.
And how did they avoid those serpents and scorpions in, when they were in the trek with Moses in the wilderness?
They stayed
on the straight and narrow path following Moses. At that time, Moses was the Redeemer. Israel was in the physical den. But as soon as they strayed off the path, they went the broad way, they would get bitten by snakes and scorpions. And you know, this is exactly the same today. As soon as we get off the spiritual straight way, the spiritual straight gate, and enter onto this broad spiritual highway, the 10-lane highway, they're just covered with serpents and scorpions, and they're ready there to release their venom and their stings.
But not only that, audience, you have to deal with the spirit. Why are you to be wise as a serpent? And so why do you not want to get tangled up with a serpent? Okay. When you're told that you have power to tread on serpents and scorpions, you get tied up with them with their lies.
Right, entering into the dialectic is one way.
And the dialectic studies, we will find, just look dialectic up. Because we're not going to go into a convoluted study.
Just go to Dean Gocher's site.
Dean Gocher. Look up Dean Gocher. Get a feel for the dialectic. It's been equated to dragon speak. But to understand that you spiritually are in the midst of this battle for your soul. And that you are the temple of the Lord, and you have to stand at the gate and let not the world come unto you, let the Holy Spirit come unto you. Pray for the truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ, to do his will is the greatest honor that any man could ever have bestowed upon him. But it was told by our Lord himself in his examples of washing of the feet of the apostles, that it doesn't matter what your fleshly, mundane task is. It's to protect your mind from sin. That is the true battle at the gate, because the people that are against the finished works of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is they who are trying to snare you. Bill?
Yes, this is like a snare shall come upon the whole world, or whole earth, it says in Luke chapter 21, 34 there, I think. He says, lest he be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this world. And, those are all fleshly things. You know, there's a three there. Partying, drunkenness, and the cares of this world. There's three parts cut off. The drunkenness is, once again, because people want to read the scriptures literal, are not going to understand what that's saying. The drunkenness is false doctrine. They're spiritually drunk, listening to lies from these lying prophets out of the pulpits and giving them flatteries. And they have become, you know, spiritually drunk. And actually, the liars themselves are spiritually drunk, because the deceivers themselves are deceived.
They are totally deceived, audience.
And then they're wrapped up totally in the cares of this world. So, the focus is on the flesh. The flesh is the cares of this world. And he says, lest you fall into this, he says in Luke 21:34, like a snare it shall come upon the whole earth.
And you have tools for this, audience. Look up false prophets all over the place. And they'll try and dialect you, which means they'll try and change the gospel to meet their fleshly requirements. Their prosperity gospels, their fleshly parking lots, and it's a good example of these churches nowadays that you could see. How many people would they feed? What did our Lord Jesus Christ do when the congregation came? He fed the congregation.
That's right.
He fed them fleshly and spiritually. And it's always said that he told the multitudes. Well, the multitudes have a lot to do with this. Okay? Because go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to say the multitudes is one thing that the church really never speaks of, and it's probably about the biggest subject in the whole scriptures from the beginning to the end is the multitudes.
Yes.
I mean, Adam and Eve were the first two multitudes.
Yes.
And it's done nothing but expand since then. And you know, when he laid it out on the line for the Pharisees and the religious structures and the whole religious system, the Herodians and everything, the whole ball of wax, he did it right in Matthew 23, he did it right in front of the multitudes and the disciples. He didn't send the multitudes away that time. I think he woed them 9 times. The religious structures and the whole establishment in chapter 23. And so, you know, this was one time where he didn't send the multitudes away, because the Pharisees were trying to make him look bad in front of the multitudes, because his astonishing, his doctrine was so astonishing. And it just all blew up in their face.
They didn't recognize him.
No.
Just imagine, audience, somebody coming down and walking into the hospital and healing everybody. And it goes back to the blind and the deaf, that when they were pulled in front of the Pharisees, you know, and they brought in the parents to say, you know, what's up with this guy, this child? We all know he's been blind, but what did you do to him? And the parents were like, he's old enough to speak for himself.
That's right.
And what does the blind guy say? He says, you don't know him? He healed me, and you don't know him? What's wrong with you? Why don't you recognize him? You can't heal me. You didn't try and heal me. But this guy, he healed me. Why don't you know him?
That's right.
That's proper rendering, audience.
That's exactly right. Same with the Pool of Siloam there. You know, where the guy hadn't walked for 38 years, I believe.
Yes.
Right in front of the Pharisees, they see him walking out of the place. Instead of being astonished by the miracle that Jesus just performed, they want to know why he's breaking the Sabbath by carrying his bedroll or whatever. I mean, their understanding was like at point zero.
So as we try and relay this to you, audience, you need to start flipping the pages of the book. Okay? If you're a construction worker, start flipping the blueprints. Any vocation can be applied to this. If you're a file clerk, start pulling files and putting it all together. If you have no skills, keep listening, audience. We'll give you the proper renderings. If you're blind, if you're deaf, if you can hear this, you will be moved by the Holy Spirit to look this up. The problem that everybody has, audience, is they don't recognize the end game, because all these manifestations are fleshly manifestations. Bill, we have Egypt going on right now. We have the Gulf going on right now. But to you, audience, who are the temple of the Lord, you need to be in your gospel. You need to stop sinning. Sin no more and go. Because here's what's coming. It's coming right at you. Okay, but you're protected by the Lord, and you petition the Lord for His Holy Spirit to teach you the truth, to be a vessel for His will, to be a lively stone. Then you'll recognize what's going on the outside. These are spiritual understandings. We're told that there's going to be gnashing at the teeth. This may be a little long, Bill. I'm going to do a couple
verses.
You
go right ahead there.
And the gnashing of the teeth, audience, let me just give you the correct gnashing. It's to grate the teeth in pain or rage, to gnash. Now, all of these scriptures that I'm going to go through are the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. But the children of the kingdom shall not be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of the teeth, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of the teeth. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Then said the king of the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. I repeated that. Sorry, audience. And shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. And finally, audience, there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now, when we're told thrust out, you need to listen to this, audience. It's to eject, literally or figuratively, to bring forth, cast forth out, drive, expel, leave, pluck, pull, take, thrust, out, put forth, send away, forth out. In this kingdom, you don't recognize this, audience. If you are standing in the valley of decision when you're supposed to be up on the mountain because you are journeying to serve the Lord, this is the royalty that is abstractly the rule, concretely a realm, literally or figuratively, a kingdom in the reign. Now, this is very sobering when you know the condemned and what will be the kingdom of the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ in the spiritual mountains now. Bill?
Yeah, cast out into outer darkness. That's that gulf that separates, you know, that story in Lazarus when Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. It's a fire of tribulation continuously. You're cast into outer darkness. This is a place where God doesn't exist. The hell fire is just the continuous tribulation.
And audience, it's again, let's recount just a little simple proper rendering of scriptures. The wheat and the tares. You're told the wheat and the tares parable. But when you don't look for the truth in that yourselves, when you don't study yourselves approved, the whole church thinks that they are the wheat, but they don't recognize that tares are poison to man. And that tares look just like wheat, just like it, until the time of the harvest. And then they turn black. And so fleshly understanding of that is that you're pretty much alone, audience, in the world to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, because nobody wants to hear it. You're an island unto yourself, and you're in for the thriller in the millennia is at hand, and you need to be wise. And scripturally wise is, that is, intelligent, skillful, or artful, cunning, subtle, wise, hearted, wise-hearted man. Now, wise-hearted man recognizes our Lord Jesus Christ in the finished works of the cross, and the enemy doesn't.
Right, it's the wisdom of God. The enemy has the wisdom of man.
And we have such a difficult time because there's so many scriptures to process to show you this, that we can only convey at this time that if you are doing the will of the Lord, you are studying your scripture to be approved.
Yes, and may I comment there that, you know, there's a lot of places in the world where people can't get a Bible. I've been often asked this, you know, this is one of the New Age questions that the Red Horse puts out there in the universities for people. What about the Aborigine that doesn't have a Bible or doesn't know God or something? And, my response to them is, don't worry about him. God is aware of all things. But to whom much is given, much is required. See, he's made the King James Bible and his word and his presence known to you. So, to whom much is given, much is required.
And audience, we have the proper rendering for that. Because the Lord teaches us about his people, not the fleshly understanding that's out there in the world. You couldn't get a proper witnessed report for what's going on in the world, because you're not supposed to have it. But in our gospel, we're told. When we look in the book of Esther chapter 1, verse 5, and when these days were expired, the kings made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Now, the proper rendering of that, audience, is where you drill down and you say, who are the people? Who are the people are that are in the garden? Because everybody wants to get back to the garden, don't they, Bill?
Well, yeah, they try to climb back in the garden. There's a lot of false religions out there that are based upon trying to get back in the garden. You know, Nirvana is one. They've even apostatized some Christian beliefs that we become like Adam was in the garden, which is we're going to become born and made new creatures. The truth will make you free. You know, Jesus Christ will make you into a new creature, a new born again in the spirit creature. And climbing back into heaven just never works. And this is what man's, you know, their goals, builders and climbers. They start out with a goal. Just as in Genesis chapter 6, let us get brick for stone and let us get slime for mortar. And they're starting out with goals. And then they start building. And when they're through building, there's nothing left to do but climb back into heaven. You know, and they have the wrong garment on, like the thief of Sardis. And that's why the Lord placed a cherub with a flaming sword in all directions, you know, in the Garden of Eden when they were cast out.
Now, they were cast out.
Yes, they were cast out. And he said, lest he stretch forth his hand and feed from the true tree of life and live forever. God comes down and lifts you up. We don't climb back. Jesus talks about climbers in the New Testament.
And this is very important to understand, audience. Okay, so you're looking at a spiritual temple built on our Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles' teachings. You are lively stones in the wall. Created by our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord God, through his Son, the intervention of his Son, through his process, his judicial process, to explain to his servants in the world and all, and Satan, that this is I am the Lord and this is my ways. Your ways are not my ways. And the metaphor of the garden in this parable, and Esther, is it needs to be defined to you so you understand, because it's in the court. It's of the garden, of the king's palace. So the people, audience, the people that are invited to this feast, they're invited. It is a people, as a congregation unit, specifically a tribe, as those of Israel, hence collectively troops or attendants, figuratively a flock, folk, men, nation, people. It's for anyone that chooses an audience. The problem is recognizing the scripture of what's on the other side. You know, what is on the other side of this? Because when you drill down on garden, Bill gave the good example. Everybody's trying to get back to the garden, but the gates are blocked by angels. Okay, the spiritual garden is where the feast is. It's in Shushan. Okay, but you need to understand that this garden, it's a garden that's fenced to keep people out. And if you go back and recount this gnashing of the teeth, what would be the worst thing that could possibly happen to you, audience? That a physical manifestation of our judgment on the earth happens and a tribulation happens and you can't go to the garden because you didn't protect your mind from the flesh as you were admonished to. Bill, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, there's going to be a separation, the laying of the plumb line, and yes, you do need to separate your, or, you know, have the Lord come in and circumcise your heart and, you know, pull you out unto him And he pulls out a separate people. He says, my people are a small and peculiar people. And a separate people. Then the other, you know, a separate of, unto the other people.
So, audience, we're trying to drill down, and we're using as little scripture as we can to give you some outlay of what your situation is. Because if we equate Leviathan, and we equate the Pharaoh and the king of Egypt, and we give you the prophetic understandings, it gets convoluted by what's happening in Egypt. Okay, this is all spiritual. No sign will be given. Bill, do you agree with that?
Well, it's not rather I agree with it. It says that Jesus himself said no sign will be given. I guess I do agree with it, because that's what the Lord said. There will be no, to this evil and adulterous generation, they're not deserving of a sign. So they're all looking for the flesh signs. This is exactly what he was telling them then. They're doing the exact same thing today. Nothing has changed.
So, audience, let me just recount for you who these people are. Okay, they're the people that are in the church as in the times of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are trying to manifest some physical, scriptural prophecy fulfilling New World Order. They are decimating the populations with inundations of every possible abomination in terms of opening up the gates of sin.
May I point into and pitting man against man? Pit, you know, that's, they're all pitting you against some other evil, and you know, some other group of people is evil. You know, that's their motive. Then the other side does the same thing. You know, the Elijah list is telling everybody that it's the evil Arabs, and on the Arab side they're telling you it's the evil Christians, and you got to come out of all of that. It's a burning building. There's just two men fighting in a building, and the burning building is collapsing, and the whole secret is to come out of it unto the Lord Jesus Christ.
And audience, you need to recognize this is not a flat plain. If you put this in a field, okay, you are surrounded. You're surrounded in the flesh by every snare possible. Your foe is so subtle, he looks like a shining light. We're to pray not to be deceived. We petition the Lord to fight our spiritual battle, because we can't. We're not prepared.
No.
But then you begin to be prepared, because you study the scriptures for your part in this. A seed grows individually. He is the potter, you are the clay. It is his vocation that you serve, and not the world. Now, we have done extensive studies at the original Battle at the Gate to prepare you to understand that it's not just the armor of the Lord, the armor of light. It is the vocation in the Spirit that will allow you to do his will. Bill?
Yes, and you know, you need spiritual sight to do this. You know, he says these people see not with their eyes and hear with their ears, nor do they understand with their heart. But if they should, I shall come in and heal them. That's, I believe, in Matthew 13, chapter 13 there. And that's what he will do. He will come in and heal you, circumcise your heart, so you will be able to see, and you will be able to hear. And you will be able to understand with your heart.
So it's equated to being under the sword, audience. You're going to be killed.
Yeah.
You're going to be killed spiritually. Or fleshly. Now, until we, because this is pretty much live and ongoing, you don't know what's going to manifest in the economies of the world are tanking. We're not doomtards. By all means, this is good news to you, audience. We're coming to you with the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, trying to convey a proper rendering of scripture that even a child would understand. Because it's the Lord's will that you know this. that you be brought back from the sword. Because the multitude of people falls under the sword. That's in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 25. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. In Jeremiah 24:10, and I will send the sword, the famine, and pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Ezekiel.
That was just chapter, the pale horse, by the way, that you just read.
Yes. Yes, it all dovetails in, Bill. It's amazing. Ye have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. Ye shall fall by the sword. I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Okay. So we're trying, audience, to gather out as many people and to be brought forth out of the nations. That's the world, audience. I want you to come out of spiritual Babylon, spiritual Egypt, spiritual Persia, and come unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, audience, Revelation 7:9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands. Now, if you equate this, audience, with Ezekiel 34:13, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers. It's the rivers of living waters, audience, and in all the inhabited places of the country. Audience, your journey is to the mountains, and it's a perilous journey filled with awe of lewdness. It is the battle for your mind. You either serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or you serve the flesh and the world. And your journey needs to go to the mountains of Israel, to Mount Zion.
That's right. You can learn a little about this journey. Go in and read, I think it's Genesis 19, maybe 19 and 20, about Lot's journey into the wilderness as he came out of Sodom. He had quite a journey into the mountains.
Audience, your trip that you're on in terms of a spiritual walk, okay, you're being recruited by the Lord Jesus Christ for this. Drop everything you're doing and pick up your gospel. Pick up your Bible and study yourselves approved. When you look at recruits, you're looking at in company with, refreshed with. In Ezekiel chapter 37, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. A great army, audience, when you drill down on it, is a force, whether of men, means, or other resources, an army, wealth, virtue, valor, strength, ability, activity, army, band of men, soldiers, company, great forces, goods, host, might, power, riches, strength, strong, substance, train, valiantly, valor, virtuous, war, worthily. So the Lord is recruiting you into this army for you to have understanding. Now, we equate many scriptures to the fact that fleshly understanding of genealogies cannot be reckoned. Fleshly understandings, but the scriptures can be reckoned, because they tell of your birthright that the fleshly powers want you not to know about. It is you, audience, who have the birthright for this, through our Lord Jesus Christ and his finished works at the cross. Because there is a restoration of the holy city, and it is not in the flesh, The restoration is through Jesus Christ, the Son of David, who builds the temple. It is the spiritual temple in New Jerusalem. It is not made of brick and mortar. It is you, audience, the lively stones. Bill?
Yes, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, just as the corrupt cannot become incorrupt. Everything of this creation, everything of this flesh, everything that's earthly is finite and comes to an end. You need to be in the spiritual lifeboat with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no halfway position. It's all the way into the lifeboat. Right now I'm looking at the situation is you're on the Titanic right now. And the scorpions are in the dining room, whining and dining and drunk on false doctrine. And you have the serpents fighting over who's going to steer the boat. And the multitude, the smart multitude, and the remnant is getting into the lifeboats now. But, you know, you got to go all the way into that lifeboat.
You must cut yourself off from the world of the fleshly understanding. You have to think that every single person that is preaching in the churches are apostate. You have to sever relationships. No one will understand what you're talking about to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us. They will hate you. They will hate you for this. They won't want to talk to you. They won't want to see you.
Right, he says, all that follow me will be persecuted.
And persecuted, audience, is not just, you know, I don't have a problem being persecuted by my neighbors for my religious views. I very rarely does anybody want to discuss it with me. All I am is, it's just a fleshly vessel doing the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. My views on what's going on scripturally in regards to, if my neighbors ask me a question, I tell them the truth. As I tell you, audience, I tell you the truth. And they may not have ears to hear. You have to live this to understand what a burden this is at the beginning. They hate you.
That's right, because they're attached to the flesh is the testing unit. I mean, you know, our souls and spirits are placed in these vessels of flesh just to test them. God doesn't want robots. He could have made us all robots. He could have made us all love him, but that's not what his desire was. His desire was to gather unto him a people that truly loved him and truly desired him and truly wanted the way of the spirit rather than the way of the flesh. And these flesh cartons, as Milton Green called them, cartons, you know, they just come and go away. And, you know, but if this is where we're going to put our attachment, and this is where we're going to put our desires, and this is where we're going to put our love, and this is where we're going to place our idols, this is the testing ground that the Lord uses to see if we desire to be with him or if we desire to be separated in the gulf, and maybe we'll just have this flesh forever in the gulf, who knows, in outer darkness. But I guarantee you the outer darkness is not some place you want to be.
And you will mourn over this, audience, because you will wrestle as Jacob wrestled in the flesh.
He wrestled with the man all night. You know, that's where the multitude is at. You know, you're at the position now of Jacob. Jacob is the multitude. And part of that wrestling, you know, Jacob, my wife and I were just discussing this today, actually. And when he went into Egypt, he was 130 years old, and he went before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had asked him how old he was. And he says, I'm 130, and he says, my years have been few and evil compared to my fathers before me. And he was speaking of Isaac and Abraham. And you know, he even humbled himself before Pharaoh there. And, you know, his name wasn't changed to Israel till he was 96 years old. He finally had to say, you know, he reached a point where, is Rachel going to be placed in front of God? Are my best stock going to be placed in front of God? I've divided myself into two bands. because I'm coming on the mount to confront my brother Esau, lest I divide myself in two bands. There's double-minded right there. And realizing that that wasn't going to work, and he had to give himself completely over to the Lord, and he wrestled with the man all night long. And he finally became of a singular mind. He was finally born of the, reborn and named Israel. And this is the valley that you're going up against Esau in this kingdom of Edom, and we're all in that same position that Jacob was in when he wrestled with the man all night. And we're going to have to make the decision. Is it the things of this world? Is it the things that we love? Is it the degrees we love? Is it the praise that we get from others? Is it the flatteries we get from others? Is it the wealth that we get from our job? You know, you could go on for hours on these things. Are these more important? Do these become idols in our heart? Or are we going to release all of them and come unto the Lord and let the Lord guide us? He says, my ways are higher than your ways. He knows things that we can't even possibly comprehend. The flesh mind compared to God Almighty, you know, my dad told me as a child, you know, man is basically a peanut. He thinks he can do everything, and really he has no clue how little that he is.
And he that is pride.
That's right, it's pride. That's what flattery's caused. You know, the Eve became prideful in the garden when she says, oh, it's desired to make one wise. She, after the devil got through flatterizing her, she became proudful. Well, I can do it on my own. It's desired to make one wise, and I'll be as a god.
And it's it doesn't matter, audience, your situation in your life. If you want to be a god, you can be a god. That's your prerogative. Okay? That's the world. That's the flesh telling you you can be all that you can be. Okay? The understanding is our Lord. And the key to wisdom is thou shalt love the Lord.
And it all goes away. It all goes away. There was a classic example this week, and I'm not judging the man. I don't know very much about the man. I remember watching his programs as a little child back in the 1950s. My mother used to watch the exercise programs of Jack LaLanne every day. You know, his goal was to live to be 150. And he lived to be 96 years old. And it's all gone now. All the restoring, all the health food, all the swimming 10 miles in the channel. I guess he offered people at one time back in the 60s and 70s $10,000 if anybody could keep up with him for one day, and nobody could do it. And, you know, he was the champion of the body. He was the champion of the flesh, and I'm not judging his spiritual mind, but I'm just making a point that it all goes away. As perfect health as he was, it all goes away.
An audience, in Mark chapter 12, 30-31, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And in trying to give you the proper rendering, audience, this is our love of our neighbor. Because you are out in a corrupt world that lies in wickedness, that is, this generation shall not pass. It shall not continue. And that doesn't matter if it's the baby born today or in 100 years, this is not going to go on. And we're trying to tell you that the mind in these scriptures is the deep thought, properly the faculties, the mind or its disposition, by implication, its exercise, imagination, mind, understanding. It is this understanding we're giving you, audience, that in the flesh you will miss all of this. You will be in that chasm, you will be cast out. The gnashing of the teeth is an example that, hey, you don't know what's going to go on tomorrow. I come as a thief in the night. You know, these other vessels of wrath are telling you, store food, buy our products. They'll keep you safe.
Right, they're merchandising the safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. count yourself worthy that she's escaped all things. And they're just merchandising that right there. They're telling you that your safety comes in buying their products and listening to their warnings and, you know.
And their fear. And they are vessels of wrath.
That's
propagating
right.
Fear.
Yep.
Now you should only be fearing the Lord at this point.
Right. Now, if the Lord does tell you through wisdom, and be wise as serpents, have a little extra food, have maybe this or have that, by all means, yes.
You'll have it, audience.
You'll have it. That's right. That's right. Just like the manna.
If you have a can of food in there because you're broke, but you're serving the Lord God, you will eat. You will be spared. You will serve Him in this time of tribulation.
Greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world.
That's a one-on-one relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you shall serve. You shall not serve the world. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. It's very important that you understand this, audience. Shalt thou serve means a hired mental to minister to God, that is to render religious homage, serve, do the service, worship God. Worship the Father in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 23, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in the spirit and in the truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Can I make a quick comment on that?
Absolutely, Brother Bill.
That's one piece of scripture that I have so drilled into me all the time. When I was talking about reading the Bible one word at a time, and one of the biggest words in that verse is the word must. And it can be read through so easily just reading it. But must means absolutely, for sure, you must do this.
You must do this, audience. You must recognize in the flesh, through your scriptures, that this is a wicked world. And it's a lot wickeder than it was 20 years ago. And it's getting wickeder by the day. Okay, you need to just have some perspective on how wicked this world is to the Lord. You have to recognize how wicked this world is to the Lord now.
That's why He says to not make haste, you know. We come to Him now. You know, it's serve this day whom ye shall serve. Choose this day whom ye shall serve. And you know, don't put this off till tomorrow. And, you know, don't make haste, he says.
And let me explain the hour, audience. It's an hour, literally or figuratively, day, hour, instant. I will come like an instant in the twinkling of an eye. It's a season. It's short. It's a tide. It's high. It's time. High time. Middle voice, primarily used, present and imperfect tenses. The others being supplied by kindred middle voice, which do not otherwise occur, to come as or go in a great variety of applications, literally or figuratively.